Welcome to the Agile Advocate, Getting DevOps Right. I'm your host, Melissa Harris. This special episode takes a look back at Government CIO Media and Research's Disruptive DevSecOps event from December 3rd, where we gained some fantastic insight from federal IT officials about best practices and buy-in for DevSecOps and Agile strategies, infrastructure as code, and the role of AI in those activities. We're here today to unpack the great discussions these officials had throughout the event. I'm going to break it down in five ways so that you too can meet the needed speed of delivery at your organization. Let's get started. One of the first key takeaways for DevSecOps and Agile adoption we learned about at our event was to get leadership buy-in. Make your business case, show where you could drive efficiencies across your organization. Air Force Deputy CIO Lauren Knausenberger drove this message, showing how the DevSecOps model brought meaningful cost savings to the service, such as in making refueling of aircraft more efficient.
It started out as kind of, oh, DevSecOps, that's that buzzword that is kind of run by those innovators over there that are kind of wearing hoodies and they're a little different. And, you know, I guess as long as they stay over there, it's okay. You know, the typical like organizational dynamic in the DoD. And I think what made it serious was the business case as it came out. And one of the most powerful early metrics was kind of looking at, okay, if we continue on the path that we're going for that in-air refueling project that I mentioned, then it's going to take us 5 years to start with the savings that we think we can get. And within that first 6 months or so, they were saving about $250,000 a week on fuel. By the end of the first year, it was starting to be closer to $500 million also in maintenance and platform costs, because they didn't have to have, you know, the in-air gas stations, so to speak, kind of just hanging out in theater waiting for folks to come up. They could plan it very, very tightly with fewer KC-135s. And so, you know, you start to say, well, what happens if I wait 5 years before I can start doing that savings versus today? So you start calculating your cost of delay. And when people started to see in the corporate structure how much faster we could be driving value and savings, and how much solving problems in a modern way and speeding this capability of the warfighter, you know, it wasn't just some innovation thing happening over there. It was a real mission need that was saving very, very noticeable amounts of money and was worth the investment.
So that's just one example. Make a use case, show the dollar value in saving, how it can create meaningful efficiencies for the mission of the organization and its users. This brings me to the second takeaway, that designing for the user experience is critical. If you don't design for the end user, then getting buy-in won't happen. DevSecOps will remain a flashy buzzword, like how Knausenberger said, if you can't deliver to your user community in a meaningful way. Colonel David Bradshaw, Army Futures Command AI Task Force Deputy Director, highlighted how closing the gap between military users and leaders is critical in deploying technologies. Without an understanding from the top down, which kind of ropes in the importance of leadership buy-in from takeaway one, it'll be hard to have the right tech for user needs.
The military, DoD, and the Army, again, very federated, spread globally. What we've seen is, you know, as senior leaders start to adopt this technology, there's a vast space between users on the ground and actual decision makers at the top, who are in some cases making multi-million dollar decisions on technology that will be used by the users at the lower end. So what we're trying to do inside the Army specifically is close that gap between users on the ground who understand the technology, probably a kid who is 18, 19, 20 years old, who's grown up with a screen in front of his face his entire life, and, you know, 50, 60 year old general officers and senior executives who aren't necessarily in tune with the latest and greatest technology, but know that we need to move that direction. So we're taking some looks at educational advances and educational opportunities to close that gap between those two user bases.
For large agencies like the Department of Veterans Affairs, making sure to deliver effectively for the user can be difficult when there are so many customers, But again, if you show how IT and strategies like DevSecOps and AIOps can deliver effectively to your user base, you can be successful. VA Enterprise Cloud Solutions Director Dave Catanoso gives us a sense of this in his work.
Well, one of our main IT goals from Secretary Wilkie is to improve customer service to our veterans, and we've oriented our digital service strategy really to deliver that. And for those that don't know, the VA is the second largest federal agency. We've got over 400,000 employees. If we were a Fortune 500 business, we'd be a Fortune 10 size organization. We've got three major lines of business: healthcare, benefits, and cemetery operations. We operate the largest integrated healthcare system in the country, maybe the world, with over 170 hospitals and 1,300 clinics. We've got over 50 benefits offices nationwide and almost 150 cemeteries. So you can imagine we've got a large corporate infrastructure to support all that and tons of IT to orient, right? So DevSecOps and AIOps are things we're looking at to really deliver on that goal of best customer service we can provide our nation's veterans.
The third lesson we gleaned from our event is that repeatability and reusability are keystones to agile product delivery. Air Force Chief Software Officer Nicholas Chalon told us that even though scaling capabilities across a department as big as the military is difficult, getting started is even harder. If the right tools are already in place for you to use, like Platform One at the Air Force, then use that as your starting point.
I agree that it's hard to scale, but it's very hard to get started. I would actually argue it's harder to get the ball rolling than pushing it down the hill and get a little bit more momentum. So I would certainly not say that it is easier to scale than getting started. But I guess everything is hard in DoD, right? So whatever. What I know is critical, and that's why I think we are really helping teams move faster now, is by removing the impediments for them to get started and jump on the DevSecOps wagon, because we know how complex and difficult it's been for teams like Kesa Run and others to start from day one and build something that really gets us with a continuous ATO model. And I think it's very difficult, right, to reinvent the wheel and build all the basic layer mandated and necessary for us to be secure. And so the cloud and the platform work is foundational, particularly the cyber stack and the way we can continuously assess our cyber posture. So I guess the key for us was to build these Cloud One and Platform One services, enterprise services, so teams can focus on building their mission software, not have to reinvent the wheel and build an entire stack from scratch.
A lot of this ability to prevent redundancies and to leverage repeatable capabilities is largely a culture change issue, Knausenberger said. She's been trying to get people away from the mindset of, oh, I want to build my own cool, shiny thing, to, hey, let's do what's right for the customer and use the tools available to deliver at speed.
There's still a little bit of, I want to build my own thing. And after Kessel Run was celebrated so much, and Platform One and Space Camp were celebrated so much as these awesome innovators who built their own platform and they're developing code and they're pushing out to the warfighter. We've had teams come after that, hey, we want to be cool too. You know, we want to do this too. And some of the folks felt like, well, but if I'm not going to be as cool if I don't build my own platform too. And so those guys had to start from scratch. They had to build their own cloud and then build their own platform, their own pipeline. And they had to, you know, train their whole workforce from scratch. So if I really want to, you know, earn the badge, I have to do it too. And so we're trying to help people to get a little bit away from that mentality and just be able to say, hey, my focus is on delivering capability to the warfighter. I don't want to have to build my own cloud and my own platform and my own pipeline. I don't even necessarily want to have to come up with my own training curriculum to get people up to speed. I want to use the things that are there, because if I use the things that are there, then, you know, I can roll up to Platform One and I can have people pushing code to production in a couple of weeks. I don't need to be going through this rigmarole just to, you know, I guess to show everyone how creative and smart I am at building my own thing. And, you know, now people are like, you know, from the military, the Navy and the Marine Corps and the Army, they're kind of showing how smart they are by saying, hey, y'all, look what Baby Yoda is doing over here in the Air Force. We're just going to roll up and kind of take it, and we're going to start deploying code. And so people, so kind of the what do we celebrate, and who's just like really nailing it. You know, when you can come in and work smart like that, that is being celebrated much more than it did in the past. And that's a really huge cultural movement that we've had as well.
That's right, y'all. Be the best Baby Yoda you can be. The fourth takeaway piggybacks off of lesson three, if we circle back to what Shalom said. Cloud-based infrastructure enables repeatability, so make sure you have that modern, cloud-forward infrastructure in place. USCIS CTO Rob Brown touched upon how cloud especially has been critical to enabling DevSecOps. Just like how the cloud from Platform One has acted as a springboard for development teams at the Air Force, cloud infrastructure has made DevSecOps easier to adopt at USCIS.
From a DevSecOps perspective, I mean, the reason to bring cloud up is that was the enabler. That was that's the keystone to get moving. When we started, really, we opened up the aperture for a lot of our dev teams and infrastructure engineers to really be, I don't want to use the term rogue loosely, but it sounds sort of rogue, and the ability for them to learn effectively, understand what the cloud had to offer. And then we started to layer in a pretty structured approach, and even more so as of late, a lot of standards and starting to apply governance. And then understanding, again, truly from a DevSecOps perspective, the platforms we could start to leverage across multiple development teams.
Ty Schneider, VA systems engineer, showed how moving to an as-a-service model with the cloud has also enabled quick scalability, which is key for rapid deployment and service.
You know, we've been looking into a platform as a service type of setup so that we can bring in those type of applications in a modernized fashion. So, you know, getting people to modernize and move towards containerization and towards microservices and things, it'll allow us to bring them on to a common platform. And that will increase our ability to serve them so much better. So, I mean, when you talk about platform as a service, it really will enable you to make use of scale. With VA, you know, there's spikes in demand. You want to be able to meet those demands. So it really, with containerization, you can quickly scale up, scale down based on what's going on in real time and do it very quickly.
And finally, takeaway five, foster a culture of collaboration. As Rob Brown told us, breaking down stovepipes and creating horizontal ways of working and communicating across the organization are enablers of success and empowerment for your teams.
So highly recommend that working level collaboration and taking on the approach of, you know, leading from the rear, or those sort of mentalities or constructs where if you can and you can afford it and it works within your organization, lead from the back of the room and provide more mentorship and coaching as opposed to that command and control. And enable your teams to be more, again, self-organizing based upon something, though. And sometimes that something is you need to show these folks what truly the mission is and what you're doing, how what you're building is operationally affects people, and for good or bad. Sometimes you need to really dive into some of those incident reports across multiple teams so that they can actually see what is happening with the mission, what's happening with the business, how it affects people. I think those are other very key elements to make it real.
And as agencies also struggle to compete for precious IT talent in operations, development, and security, that collaboration, in many ways, is the only way to push forward stronger and faster.
The only way for us to get there is by collaborating and being stronger, faster, and better together as a team because of the lack of talent already that we're facing and the difficulty of bringing additional talent inside the government. So I think we don't have a choice but to do that and work together and stop reinventing the wheel.
So there you have it. five key takeaways from federal IT leaders from our disruptive DevSecOps event. Let's run down the line one last time. One, get that leadership buy-in. Show how you can drive cost savings and efficiencies so that you can make DevSecOps and agile practices a reality for your organization. Two, design for the user experience with DevSecOps. Build iteratively and get user feedback to make sure your products are effective. Three, repeatability and reusability are foundational. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Use what you have to your advantage. Remember what Knausenberger said, be Baby Yoda. Four, make sure you have the infrastructure you need for DevSecOps practices. Use the cloud so you can break down silos, promote sharing and scalability. And five, foster a collaborative environment. This will ensure smooth work across your teams, the enterprise, and successful delivery for your customers. The Disruptive DevSecOps virtual event was our last for this year, but we promise we'll have a brand new lineup of great events in 2021 and more thought leadership that will come your way soon. Until then, stay tuned, subscribe to the Agile Advocate and the rest of Government CIO Media and Research's great podcast. We'll see you then.
The Agile Advocate is a production of Government CIO Media and Research. For more podcasts, head to governmentcio.com/podcasts. The Agile Advocate is produced by Amy Kluber. It is hosted by Bill Drew. Theme music provided by Big Hoax. If you're interested in sponsoring a podcast, contact us at sponsor@governmentcio.com.